wanted to ask you about a couple of things, on, not only here, but also on your website. And we'll start with what you presented here. And it was about the HIV epidemic specifically. What you don't talk about, and what I didn't find on your website at all, is the impact of abstinence-only education, which does not address homosexuality, which does not address the fact that a study from Emory University found that same-sex marriage reduced HIV rates. And if you haven't found that, you need to go get it, because it's there, and it's a pretty solid study. So the question is what impact is our anti-gay agenda having on the HIV epidemic?
Well, I don't consider it an anti-gay agenda. I believe that this is a sexuality integrity agenda about the way humans are made. And the HIV statistics are there. And first of all, I would have to really look at that Emory study, because many homosexual males are, as Andrew Sullivan made it very clear, are proudly open marriage. They have sex with other partners, which is why I wondered why my friend Jim, who had one partner, died of AIDS. So same-sex marriage is not going to, if people can't be committed now, that's not going to change it. So I would have to look at that and see if that stands up to peer review, because the CDC statistics do not. 69,000 dead men,
Well, and how much of that had to do with the fact that it took 6 years for the United States government to activate the Centers for Disease Control and actually fund prevention efforts and money to help study what was going on with the HIV epidemic in the early years?
If that takes us up to 1987, we still have tens of thousands of people still contracting it. In almost every study will show that homosexual men know about safe sex. It's virtually 100%. They still practice unsafe sex. Now, why? I would maintain that that's part of what's going on. I believe that people that are involved in homosexuality have issues they have not dealt with, and homosexuality is just one of them, because it's disordered, and it reflects that by the kinds of things you end up doing with your body. So it can be practiced more conservatively, no question, but even there, you're simply rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic in many ways, because you're still doing things that are not right for your body. Anal sex, oral sex with another guy, promiscuity, any of the things that go on. So, abstinence until marriage education. I was a reviewer of abstinence education grants in the state, Ohio State Health Department, and I'm a huge fan of that, because what it does, abstinence until marriage curricula don't simply deal with the sex act. It doesn't treat people like they're animals. It treats people like, okay, there are STDs, and it tells them, and there are contraceptive types, okay, here are the actual failure rates, and doesn't say, you just go and be sexually active.
Thank you, I love you.
Oh, thank you. Love you too. I don't know that man from Adam. Anybody who loves me, I love them back, because so few people do.
You're talking about the abstinence-only studies,
studies,
not saying go have sex.
Right. They give kids the idea of, look, you don't have to go with the flow here. You can wait and preserve yourself, and there are real risks here. I get emails, and all of these gals who are involved in these gals and guys in the abstinence until marriage get emails from broken-hearted kids. Why didn't somebody tell me that latex doesn't keep you from getting HPV? Well, I mean, why don't people tell you? In comprehensive sex ed doesn't. It has an agenda. The agenda is supposed neutrality, but the agenda is anything's okay, and just put latex on. That's not what the reality of people's lives are showing. When they end up infertile, when they go to have a child, and they end up because they had chlamydia, HPV, all the things that can, they are heartbroken, and they look back and say, my comprehensive sex ed didn't tell me that. Abstinence until marriage does. Also, abstinence until marriage deals with sex acts. So anybody involved there, I don't know. I can't speak for every abstinence program, but I'm guessing they treat it much like I do here. You're made for male-female marriage. That's your body. You can do other acts. That's your choice. But there are consequences. And if you just talk about anal sex, there are consequences to that.
Well, but when you use the abstinence until marriage mantra, aren't you actually just automatically excluding, particularly in the state of Michigan or in Ohio, where there's an anti-same-sex marriage amendment, Don't. Well, if you're saying abstain until marriage.
What you've done is you've jumped from doing the best for kids and recommending what we want to do to assuming and giving and recommending to them to saying, what you've done is you've gone from the idea that, which is the age-old idea of kids need to wait, to saying sex is okay for you. Guess what? The reality doesn't reflect what you're saying. So we should not be saying that to kids. Reality is early sex leads to the heartbreak of an early pregnancy, no matter what the person ends up with that, STDs, and guess what? Broken hearts. And some of the suicides that we talk about. It's a tragedy. There are so many reasons. And back when I was a liberal, I thought this too. Because I thought, but back then I said, we got to have more contraceptives because kids, we don't want kids, you know, having. No, you got to not be sexually active. It just complicates your life. It breaks your heart. And abstinence from marriage is so good in that it says, here's a whole range of things you can be doing other than sex in your life right now. Sex is great later. Wait.
Wait until marriage. Not open to same-sex couples.
Not true. Every person in this room can marry someone of the opposite sex because that's what marriage is. You've done another leapfrog of assuming that that is a great thing to do. It's not a great thing to do.
Okay.
So.
I have to ask the questions.
I know.
The next question I had for you actually deals with your own statements on your website.
Okay.
In which you praised Scott Lively.
Yep.
By the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I love Scott Lively.
Scott has, by his own admission, been actively involved in the Kill Gays bill in Uganda.
No. So have I. And it's not the Kill Gays bill.
Okay.
Scott Lively's been on my show, and I don't have it archived because it only archived week by week, but he probably has it. No. He was on my radio show, and we've all talked. This has been misportrayed, and please clear this up. Uganda is criminalizing rape of children, and I think a lot of people would say maybe death penalty for rape of children, heterosexually or homosexually. Uganda has already decided, based on a lot of input from a lot of folks, they are. This is what I hear. I don't speak for Uganda, but they're going to take the death penalty stuff off. But the fact that they are recriminalizing homosexuality is A, their business. B, it is patronizing for white Westerners to be telling these folks that they are seeing George Soros-funded gay groups going into Uganda. They are all through the schools, lots of promotion to kids, and poor kids. Poor kids are being offered money and favors and gifts to have sex. That's exploitation. That's sex trafficking. And it's being done mostly homosexually by Western homosexuals coming in and trying to get involved in Uganda. And it's happening all over Africa, but Uganda's the one that is stomping down on it. They have the right to do that. But I talked with Scott, and first of all, I can't stand the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are such a hypocritical organization. They don't cover any of the violence that happens to any of conservatives. I love what they do with the Ku Klux Klan, racial issues, synagogues, anti-Semitic. They need to go back, stay out of this other stuff. They need to get away from classifying hate groups, family groups. I mean, I am a normal, ordinary person. I just happen to have conservative values.
Okay.
I don't hate anybody. I don't go on people's websites. I don't target people. I don't picket funerals. I can't stand Fred Phelps. I think he's funded by the gay. I really do. A lot of us say, don't you think he's funded by? Because he's just ideally for what they want. I think he is.
Well, here's another question for you.
Yeah.
You say that you're biblically based and that you believe the Bible.
Yeah.
And you cited 18:22, Leviticus 18:22.
Yeah.
Do you support the death penalty for homosexuality in the United States?
Oh my gosh, no.
Do you support criminalization of homosexuality?
I do. I think I would love to see sodomy laws, but low level. The reason is the way they work. The reason they were there to begin with, to discourage homosexuality, because it's not good for humans. Humans don't need to do it. And it ends up sexualizing children at younger and younger ages. I don't mean pedophilia. I mean that's an admitted subgroup of practicing homosexuals. But I mean, you know, because pregnancy's not involved, presumably you just keep going down the line and kids get, and that's what's happening. Kids are, you know, 11-year-olds are declaring themselves homosexuals and having homosexual sex with their buddies. This has a major impact on that kid's whole life. Maybe disease, certainly emotions. He's too young to be doing any of that. So that's one of the main reasons that homosexuality has always been discouraged. And nobody needs to do homosexuality.
Okay.
Well, you said low level. In Michigan, there's still a sodomy law on the books.
It's is it still? Okay. Yeah. I thought after 2003.
But it's 15 years to life. It's not enforceable because of the Supreme Court ruling. But it's 15 years to life. Is that low level?
15 years to life is I don't know. I mean, I'm not studying, but I'd say that was way too much. No, I'm saying, very low jail penalties, fines, perhaps. I'm concerned about kids. Adults would continue to do what they want to do, and this is unlikely to ever go anywhere. But that's my thought, because I really am very concerned about the sexualization of our kids. I would have criminal penalties for Planned Parenthood, and I used to be a volunteer with them. I don't the way they're sexualizing kids for profit, with abortion. They get girls sexually active who then fail to take their pills, and then guess what? They're there for the profitable abortion. It's sexual exploitation for profit. Big, big corporation funded by the federal government. So that's my
last question. I promise.
You've got way more than you.
I just picked up the telephone. President Obama has said, you know what? Ask Ms. Harvey, how would she end the AIDS epidemic tomorrow?
I would tell people, I would broadcast all this and say was it Lori Jean, is that the gal who's Los Angeles, head of the Los Angeles Gay Center, a couple years ago, pro-family people were going, did you see this? They did put up billboards. HIV is a gay disease. Own it, end it. I mean, I would say you've got to get back to get away from this. HIV is everybody's disease. I mean, yes, you've got the high risk bisexuals, you've got IV drug users, but people have got to stop enabling through HIV prevention groups that have the most outrageous workshops. They're just sex instruction workshops. They're enabling the continuation of the practice and occasionally throwing a condom on it. They're not doing anything. They're not doing nothing, and billions have been spent. Now, we need to get back to educating people about what's actually going on, telling people the risks of homosexuality, educating people that, guess what, there are ex-homosexuals and they're not all lying, and we need to tell people the truth. We need to tell people the truth and let them decide, but also protect our kids based on what we know. But not sexualize kids and let them believe that life is great if you just do whatever you want and put a condom on.
Okay. Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.